Blog Talk Radio.
Citizens of Paragon and Millennium Cities, this is Paragon Radio, I'm your host, Pilgrimman, post Easter weekend, post Passover weekend. I'm a little tired. I've been having headset troubles. And we were doing a pre-show, me and Mad Viking. I was like, Mad, I think something's wrong with your microphone. And then I come to realize when the song started, the intro started playing, it was my headset. Sorry, Mad, I'll bring you on in a moment or two. But it's just a little past 8 o'clock. We're broad on the East Coast of the United States, planet Earth. We're broadcasting live from our very, very high altitude tonight of 0.0167 feet above sea level. Yes, you figured that one out. All right. But without further ado, I hope you all had a wonderful holiday weekend. I get by with a little help from my friends. And this one, as I just mentioned, some people say he's Mad. Some people say he's Viking. We just like to call him Mad Viking.
All right. To quote Verizon, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Apparently it wasn't your headset, Mad. It's my headset now.
Well, let's confirm and let's have the others speak.
Yeah.
We are looking for underwater again. So.
Yeah, it sounds, to me, it sounds, everything sounds bubbly. So let's see what everybody else says.
Yeah.
So, does Mad sound okay?
Wait. Yes.
Yeah, just type in the chat.
You
got to
wait
people.
For a delay,
let's
of course. See. We got to wait for the delay.
Yeah, yes. Let's see what he said. Let's see what everybody says. Does Mad sound okay? Mordecai, Alan, Silver Regret.
Vixen, if you're listening. Anybody!
Yeah. Anybody who's listening, who can type to us.
Hugs. You guys sound fine. Thank you, hugs.
I'm fine. All right. It's my headset. I don't know. Yeah, because earlier, over the weekend, you know, I do some voice acting for Dawn Manation, and I couldn't hear the playback. And then Matt was on. I was like, wait a minute. It's fixed. And apparently, then he started talking. I was like, wait a minute. Now you sound screwed up. It's a new type of headset. I mean, just... Yeah, well. All right. So there we go. We can hear you now.
So maybe
thank
now
you.
I
thank
can
you,
use
Verizon.
The regular computer so we can get to one of the things in
that's
question.
Right.
So let me
that's right.
It up.
That's right. So tonight we got some updates from Star Wars Europe this past weekend. I have a bit of a survey. I'm going to ask Mad Viking to set up on Discord. And one of the games has an update. And we have an update from a game we haven't had an update from in some time.
And no, it's not Valiant or Heroes versus Villains. No, we gave up.
We gave up on those two because those two games gave up on us. So.
No, they didn't go. They rebooted.
They gave up on themselves. Well, Heroes and Villains gave up on themselves, so.
And Valiant,
they just do their own weird updates in their own Valiant's way. That's.
I was waiting to see Talos Island and Peregrine Island merged. I was waiting for that one.
Peritalos? Or Talisgrin Island. There you go.
I mean, they merged Dark Astoria and Perez Park on that second one. It was like, really?
And they admitted to it. Guilty. Well, great. Now the game's back, morons. That's a problem. Now when the main game is back that you copied from and admitted to it, you got to change your shit up because guess what? Lawsuit. Pending lawsuit. Why? Because you admitted to stealing from them.
You admitted to
take from a property that is now back. Even though at the time they weren't, you admitted to taking from them.
All right, so we got two updates. Yes.
Yes, we do. We do?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's start with you.
All right. Well, let's get to this because this has been months and many, many, many weeks in the waiting.
Many, many, many.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an update from City of Titans. I know we have to hype this up. Ladies and gentlemen, The update is called Spring is for Spawning Villains. Happy April, everyone. Yes, and this is our first show for April.
We're spawning in spring. Where's rain when you need her?
That's right. We need rain to spawn. Because April showers bring Mayflowers, and Mayflowers bring pilgrims. I know, that's a bad joke. But anyway, this update, we have exciting things for you to try out in City of Titans. So you can read the details. Well, I'm going to read the details below for all of you. But be sure to log on to the client now to start downloading the patch while you read. Today, we are expanding what's available on the island for players to explore with foes to fight, some fun powers to use, and new parkour movements to try out. First up, Villains to Fight. The first most important expansion in this update is the addition of foes for you to fight in the game. With artificial intelligence, mind you, these foes demonstrate the basic function of fighting with players. They will not notice you until you come within sight of them. They will attack you at a fairly controlled rate. They can engage in ranged or melee attacks. Their attack rate, awareness of players, powers they fight with, and many other features will all be modified in the future to fit into the advanced levels and circumstances of each section of the game. Features like bosses and lieutenants will add to the complexity of combat, but right now, in this simple version, they show basic functions of how villains will spawn in the game at various locations and fight with players. Most of all, they are a lot of fun to get into blasting battles with or hand-to-hand combat. You will notice that they have various powers they are using, like electric blast, water blast, etc. Like all the powers in this update, they are test powers. That will be very different, refined, and expanded in the game, with more developed mechanics for each power. These are initial demonstrations of basic animations from a library of powers already developed that we will be introducing into the game in the coming months. Powers to use. We hope the most fun part of this update will be for players to have several basic powers to use in fighting with foes. Players will have a Fire Blast, PB AOE, that's a point blank area of effect, punching and kicking melee options. These are very basic, quote unquote, testing power options and will be followed up later with full power sets that are being implemented. But while we are implementing the full set of powers for the game, we thought players would enjoy having some fire to throw down villains on the island. And we hope the demonstration of targeting, hitting, missing, and interplay with foes in the game shows the very basic elements of fighting that will be built upon later with full power sets for players and AI enemies. You'll notice another key feature of development for the game during combat with foes. Both foes and player characters have health bars that adjust when damage is taken. You will notice that things like critical hits are displayed during combat. The system of allocating damage demonstrates a basic version of combat that will be expanded on with the wide range of power sets envisioned for the game. There are diverse foes throughout the island to discover and fight with, so make sure to explore. Next up, parkour to try out. Movements are being developed for the players and non-player characters to make the fighting experience more dynamic. A basic parkour function has been added so that players can leap over short walls and barriers. Players can still fly and run quickly, but this is another option that has been added as an automatic feature when running towards barriers. This start for parkour will be refined more in the future, and a suite of additional travel powers is coming. Instructions, keys for fighting, weather control, and travel. Download the patch. This is an update currently for Windows only. Mac will be available soon. To get the latest patch, if you already have the game downloaded, when you open the game, simply hit Patch to update the new features. If you haven't downloaded the game yet, And if you've already downloaded $50 or more, the launcher is available on your reward page, rewards page rather, at https://store.missingworldsmedia.com. Target a foe. The target widget shows up when a target is in range to be targeted and looked at. To target a foe, look in their direction, and you will see a white target widget. To target the villain, hit F key, and a target will lock onto the foe. Once locked on, if there is more than one enemy, you could switch using the Tab key. Cursor targeting will be added later. Melee. Hit 1 to punch a foe. Hit 2 to kick a foe. Fire blast. Hit 3 to throw fire at a foe. But don't be surprised if they throw something back at you. For your PB AOE, hit 4 to slam the ground and knock your foes with a point-blank area of effect power. Unstuck. The period button for unstuck. Occasionally, players may find the new parkour travel power can get you stuck in a wall. Ah, that's some serious parkour. Hit period to return to the start area for play on the island. A new key for flight. Since the F key is now used for targeting foes, hit Alt F for flight. Or just double jump. That will get you flying too. Okay. Weather keys. Don't forget that you could adjust the weather and the environment by hitting the control key and F7 key to select the weather. So how does this update fit into the overall development of City of Titans? This is our last planned update for the island, our test area that we have used for developing City of Titans. Every core function that has been developed so far in the game as a demonstration on the island is about to be moved to a much more exciting arena, the Titan City Neighborhoods. This update is an interim release to show a small sample of what's to come. The test powers and AI foes are mostly to show we have them working and for you to enjoy while we implement the rest of the game. Full power sets for players and foes are coming with a fully functional user interface replacing the current key functions. More travel powers are coming, missions are coming, multiplayer and chat are coming, and all of that in the context of Alexandria, Old Bradford, downtown, Northeastern Research District, and Victory Beach, our Titan City neighborhoods. This update releases some basic functions for you all to enjoy while all on the island as we work over the coming months to make the transition to the bigger games we have been building. We hope this update is very exciting for you all, but it's only the beginning of what is coming. We hope you all have a fantastic holiday weekend. Enjoy some epic fights on the island starting today. And we look forward to sharing the bigger game with you all in the coming months. Happy spring to you all. Special thanks to Am I Evil, lead developer on powers and AI for City of Titans, who did the heavy lifting for everything shown in this update. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. One last City of Titans update before they go to the big time.
It just took 8 months.
Yeah. Well, no. Didn't they do one for the new year? I could have sworn they did one for the new year.
Well, my update's not with Ship of Heroes. It is actually for City of Heroes. Excelsior!
Oh, very good.
And it's on the beta right now. New mission contest. There's two of them. New power set, Storm Blast. Redraw, revamp all weapons powers, and much more. Here we go. First one, John Houston is for Rogues, level 40 to 44. John Houston, SPDR. New star reporter is following a lead that has taken him all the way to Independence Port, where he's supposed to meet up with a source to get a hold of some juicy information. Unfortunately, as is so often in the case, his source was kidnapped, and now he is desperate in need of some morally dubious help. Players will get a chance to influence the politics of Paragon City for years to come while checking in on old friends and making powerful enemies, all in a day's work. And the other one, John Houston in Independence Port. located near the Smugglers Icon Ship in Independence Port. And this is for vigilantes. Those who toe the line of legality of Paragon City have the chance to answer the call of Dr. Stribling, a multidisciplinary scientist, better known for his theory that his results. He's run into a bit of problems. Someone broke into his lab and does not want information of his experience to leak to the public. People willing to get their hands a little dirty will find themselves drawn into a web of moral quandaries that will ask him, did I make the right choice? And he will be in Brookstown. New power set, the Storm Blast for Blasters, Corruptors, and Sentinels, new secondary for Defenders, in which you get Gust, obviously a gust of wind. Hailstones, ouch. Jetstream, a cone rapidly that repels people, causing smashing damage. Storm Cell, you conjure a storm in the air that defines the boundaries of your stormy powers. Rain of the power that slightly lower flows movement and chance to hit. Intensify, greatly increase the chance to hit of your attack for a few seconds. Direct Strike, you channel a storm powers into a direct hit, jolting the enemies with a bolt of lightning that deals energy damage and saps some endurance. Chain Lightning, well, that kind of says it all right there. Cloud Burst, unleash a cloud that drops a torrent of freezing rain on your target using cold damage. And Category 5, a severe storm that begins light that grows in power until it becomes a raging engine of destruction. Left on its own, the Category 5 storm is capable of delivering moderate damage over time as it grows in power, eventually begins to fling foes through the air. In addition, each of your storm blast powers builds electrical powers running and capable of delivering lightning attacks that deal energy damage. Redraw revamps. Weapons will now have a draw animation the first time you use the weapon after your character has been in idle non-combat animation. With typical mission pacing, this means each weapon will only play its draw animation the first time you use it in combat. And this goes with beam rifle, dual pistols, dual blade, battle axe, war mace, broadsword, staff fighting, arachnos, soldiers and widows, archery, trick arrow, tactical, claw, spines, thorny, assault, plant medicine, experimentation, experimental, injection, assault rifle, and mastermind. Let's see. Blast powers upset. The slug will have a shorter slug cast time. Beanbag, power replaced with aim, so no more beanbag. Sniper rifle, cast lowered to 1 second. Ignite, replaced with incinerator. Incinerator does DOT over 5.6 inches with single targets. The target is slightly on the defense of minus defense buffs, then the DOT is extended for a longer period. Flamethrower is... does the same damage, is now quicker. Full auto, arc increase from 20 to 90 degrees. Dark Blast, cooldown lowers to 11 seconds. Damage increased a little bit. Hold duration reduced. Suppressive Fire, cast times reduced. Recharge reduced. Damage increased. Hold effectiveness reduced. Piercing Rounds. Resistant defense is now applied, uses round types, stacking chains to replace. Fire Blast, reduced time. Will Domination, blaster only, renamed to Dominate Will. Recharge is lowered, cast time lowered. Damage lowered, move to T1. Will Domination, recharge lowered to 10, and also weakened a little bit. Psionic Lance, moved from T3 to T6. Psionic Dart, renamed to Psionic Darts. Instead of a single, it's plural. Now a 10-target cone. And recharge increase of 12 seconds. Damage lowered to 1.0 scale to 0.08. Telekinetic Blast, move from T5 to T3. Mental Blast, recharge increase from 4 to 6 seconds. Damage increase. Subdue, cast time reduced. Recharge reduced. Damage reduced. Psychic Stream, cast time lowered. Psionic Tornado, cast time lowered. Radius reduced, damage increased. Scramble Thoughts, renamed to Scrambled Minds. Now a chain. Cast time is reduced. Main target will be stunned. Additional targets may might get hit. Damage increased. Seismic blast. seismic blast build up. Players will be able to more quickly notice orange rings and decide what power to use next in this visual information. Water blast. Power should build up tidal force stacks if even if they miss. Enhanced water jet. Power no longer has a lockout window. Tidal forces to clear all existing stacks of tidal power before applying three stacks. Power bug fixes. Mace mastery added ability to add slot slow sticks. Soul mastery can no longer slot to hit. Debuffs. Symphony control. Impassioned serenade. Remove line of sight. Check on the executed confused power. Brute radiation taunt now hits five targets. Scrapper, fiery melee confront, scales on torrent to corrected. Ugh. Sentinel's inherent vulnerability updated description to the state of Vitaly's vex of vulnerability to not stack. Scrolling. Keep on scrolling. I hit the wrong button. Hero Epic AT, inherit Dark Sustenance and Cosmic Blast, updated to include Sentinel Contribution, Stone Armor, Brimstone Proc, Fixed Bug with a Damage Proc, we would not turn off when in Granite Armor, Experimentation Corrosive Vial, Fixed Defense Bus, applied to Pseudopod. New Costume Parts, Metallics, all categories, Half and Full Helmet, Bot Shield, Bunker Shield, Tech Shield, Details, we got new Blast Goggles with a Glow version, 3D glasses, standard, low, and high. Detail sporty, sporty 1S, one, two, a few sporties and shields. Female huge. Is this now a huge female?
Really?
Female sweetheart 1, transparent, and sweetheart 15, solid. Costume bugs fix. Female, oh boy. Rain may be a little upset because some of her clothing. She may be walking around a little naked.
Goodness.
Custom weaponry, Arachno Mace, Scepter of Stentho option. Broadsword, that's me. Fang of Stentho added. Dual Blades, Fang of Stentho added. Staff of Stentho, War Mace, Scepter of Stentho. Weapons fix, Arachnos Assault Munitions, finders that cause the dust resistant rune slower to rifles to render upside down. I will shoot you. Oh, god damn it. Bows, fix an issue with the legacy bow model. Bow strings that will cause them to not take the transparency prophecy with certain attacks. Dual blade. Fix an issue with the left-handed Vanguard Katana to render backwards on female huge characters when sheathing when enabled. Katana Ninja Blade. Fixed Katana customizable Ruralu Ray. Left eyeball not animated. New badge. Unforgettable for the 19th anniversary. Underdog completed the hero alignment of the John Houston Noble Intention. Polster, the rogue alignment for John Houston Noble Intention. Loop Hero. Reach and complete the conclusion of Dr. Stripping, Trouble Time. Supergroup base themes, Open Sky Pass-Through. New Supergroup base items, Collision Walls, Axis Gizmos, Surface Aligner, Axis Aligner, Surface Tower, Surface Tile, Surface Tower, Surface Tile, Fit Gizmo, Collision Gizmo, Smooth Water Fill, no sound, Rough Water Fill, no sound, Alphabet, changes sizes, and different fonts. Bath and kitchen, coffee mugs. Yes, you must have your coffee mug. Mug shelf, gigantic sign, restroom sign, universal sign.
Well,
casino.
Hold on. How are we gonna drink our coffee if we each don't have a coffee mug? Come on now.
Casino, cue ball. You can put a cue ball on the pool table. Lighting, white bunker light. Slums and waste, junk, burnt mattress too. Next, Praetorian Warworks tin table. Wall details, tech console, arcane system. Collision walls, they're perfect use team will allow primitive players coming to slip through, as it does anywhere else in the game, but that follows teleport. Let's see, others, emotes. Is it going to be watermelon? I guess you're eating a watermelon. Arachnose mug, paragon mug, winter mug. So there you go. You can now, there's your drinking coffee. drink. Females should no longer slide their legs across the ground when slipping.
Hold on. Check to make sure you didn't log off. I was just sitting back listening, and then I got booted. I'm still on. Well, somehow I got logged off, and nobody said told me to jump. So,
I was reading.
Drink.
Females should no longer slide their legs across the ground when sipping.
Wait, that sounds wrong.
What's in that drink?
What the hell are they drinking? Excuse me, I'm slipping my
hamburger,
legs.
Flying while eating hamburgers are now properly cyclists that are constantly chowing down.
So make sure you don't put, ladies, when you're, I'm sorry, flyers, no extra ketchup or mayonnaise on those burgers, whatever you do. Hugs wants to know, are the mugs going to have fluffy kitties and or best dad mom ever?
No.
And when do these things come out?
No. What they are going to have are Arachnose, Paragon, Winter Fill, Tin Table, and the Supergroup logo.
Okay, but when do they come out?
Well, it's in beta right now, so I assume soon.
Oh, like I was gonna try and
soon,
drink coffee much.
TM.
So.
All right.
Soon,
Dr.
but not now.
The Freakin' Slaps of Alkestad. Arc is split into two parts. Arc 1, up to leg. Arc 2, post-slap to prison. Stasis 2, behave properly, not trapping subjects thin. Vassalox desk protected from bees and other mean things in the lab. Souvenirs split across arcs as well. Dr. Aeon, adjustments to prevent some reported exploits. Damn it. The Vanguard leadership now requires Apex to be defeated in order to spawn, and add waypoint for the minimum for the third ripple of District 5 to help Portal Core section be normal. The Navigable and the Goldbreaker blockade. The first objective will now scale with team size on default to difficulty instead of always spawning at max. Mayhem missions. Arson completes the mayhem mission, now gives everyone the group badge credit upon completion. Miss Liberty Task Force. Adjustment preventive appointed exploit. That's Arbiter Sands now drinks his cutscene coffee from an Arachnose mug instead of a generic white cup. Spring Fling 2006 event. Scratch and Ganymede. These two contacts will no longer introduce any other contacts, including DJ Zero, which is now unlocked automatically by earning the required Handsome Beautiful badge. DJ Zero, if you own the Handsome Beautiful badge for completing Scratch and Ganymede's final mission, DJ Zero will now automatically be unlocked, added to the player with a pop-up. No longer requiring an extra from anyone else, and no longer potentially locking players out who qualified but didn't talk to Scratch or Danami. Weekly strike targets, the tooltip of the weekly strike targets in the LFG tab now mentions the prismatic ether currency, rewarded for 50s when they complete the weekly strike force. Cimmeronian traders added a couple of spoken dialogues to attacks used by Romulans. Freedom Phalanx, Manticore, has now been given a quiver and now holsters, so he's no longer pulling arrows out of his back. Okay. Goldbrickers had a couple of spoken dialogues, there's also Goldbrick not self-destruction, Prisoner Zoe's Burning Shatter, and Princess Zoe's Absolute Zero Cannon. Freaklock, kind of Edelons. Do not have an eternal menu of powers to choose from. Females have luminous powers, not Myra and Merc. Males have Merc and not Myra or Luminous. Praetorians, or the Praetorians, Chat Chimera has now been given a quiver and holsters, no longer pulling arrows out of his back. The Sioux re-enabled the disabled units from the 35 to 54 range. Vanguard added a couple of spoken dialogues also Incandescent Lame, Lambent Flame, Hero 1 Cry of Despair, Hero 1 Rune of Protection. Zones. Any man in mob in the Krotoa Vale War where Ikoi and Jacket Irons now fight are set to ignore combat modes, making them level less and easier to identify when mobs must be defeated. And Ikoi and Jacket Irons solo spawn events will have a zone event message. Astriga. Vigilante and Rose are now able to access Trigger's Isla's Hazard Zone. Zone fixes. Chimera. Cimarora, I mean. Fix the missing geometry tile. Someone complained about a tile. Okay. Echo Plaza. Yeah. Lots of geometry and texture set for the summer event 2012 Coliseum and Echo Plaza Coliseum models. Imperial City. Property found and removed. Correct the invisible power suppression moocs from the Imperial City Trade House. Mission map. Spawn points with map P Tech 45, whatever that is. World geometry. Corrected all positioning of the ceiling-mounted exit signs. Let's see. Candy cane vendor fixed a display that will cost a snow beast costume in the candy cane, but it just shows a furball costume text. Graphics added a hint of AMD and NVIDIA drivers to prefer the high-performance GPU on systems that have multiple GPUs. And that is it. A lot of reading.
Oh, it's a lot of updates.
Yeah.
And just before the anniversary.
And a burger isn't just a burger without the tangy zip of Miracle Whip.
That's right. But seriously, flyers, watch how much dressing you put on your burgers. You don't want that dripping when you're flying overhead.
So now you can eat a hamburger, and soon a watermelon. So that means you have to, is that, they actually also made the spitting of the seeds. You got to think about that one.
That would be funny if you're flying overhead. Patchouli, patchouli, patchouli.
Kind of a dead giveaway.
I used to like.
And what do you do with the rind?
Funny if you're stuck. When you're done, you throw it at somebody.
But I think the funniest one was sipping, and ladies are doing a split. What?
How the hell are you doing a split? What the hell is in your drink?
Yeah, that's some drink.
Who spiked it?
I'm surprised that we haven't seen. Oh, now I know. Rain, have a drink. Try sip.
Mm-hmm.
Why am
that's
I doing
she's
a
been
split?
Doing at home. She's been.
Yes, she's still MIA.
Is Mordekaiser dressed like a Sith?
Probably, yes.
And actually, it makes sense because on to our next topic is going to be Star Wars Europe. That was this weekend. He's Darth Mordek. Darth Morty.
It gives me a chance to rest my jaw.
Morty's going to be, yes. Very good, Morty. Very good. Morty, would you like to step forward and model your Sith costume for the judges? Just so we can take a closer look. Or you can just hang out in the shadows like most Sith do.
Yep.
It's okay. Either or. Oh, he's coming up. He's coming up. Very nice.
So,
very nice.
Goes, I remember the old Jack in the Box ad campaign. If it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't belong in your face.
Very cool. Very good. Very nice. Very Sith-like. Yes, yes. Oh, hold on.
All right, well, get the Star Wars.
There you go, Morty. There you go, Morty. You get a 10. There, I judge him a 10. There you go. All right, just a few stories out of this weekend. That's all they posted. Mm-hmm. So, these are out of order. First thing, it's out of the news. Are you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Not to age us, sir. Return of the Jedi is turning 40.
Yep.
Oh, I feel so old. Shake me to the old folks home. All right. So Return of the Jedi is turning 40. The third film of the original trilogy, the good trilogy, is heading back to the theaters later this month. It was revealed at Star Wars Celebration London, and will be returning to theaters on April 28th in celebration of the film's 40th anniversary. Well, to mark this occasion, Lucasfilm has commissioned a new poster done off the film by artist Matt Ferguson. And it's funny because in the poster, in the background is Darth Vader, the incomplete but fully operational Death Star, some TIE fighters. And the foreground, oh my God, okay, it's Luke Skywalker. In front of him is a fucking Ewok. And they're standing on the moon of Endor, which they never give a name. Some AT-AT walkers, some clone troopers on a bike. Unless it's Princess Leia, I can't tell. It's too small to tell. And it's all in the very background. That window from the Death Star that they're looking out of, that's in the very background of it. And it says 40th anniversary. Star Wars Return of the Jedi returns to theaters April 28th. It says here, I'm so happy and grateful to get to work on these movies again, even more so to be given the freedom to continue what I... Okay. Start with Empire, says Ferguson while speaking with StarWars.com. For that poster, a cold mechanical vibe completely takes over the whole composition. But Return of the Jedi is very much the triumph of Luke and the Rebels. So I want to have more of the warmer colors coming back into the art, hence pivoting to green with red accents. Ferguson also explained why the new poster primarily features Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. The artwork should tell a story. So for me, it only made sense to give over the composition to those two characters, noted Ferguson. Will Luke be turned to evil? Will Luke be turned? Is Vader going to overcome the darkness? It's all about the pull between good and evil. According to Lucasfilm, Return of the Jedi will only be in U.S. theaters from April 28th to May 4th. Aha, Star Wars Day. In the United Kingdom, it will run from April 28th to May 1st. Hey, wow, the UK is getting screwed over on that one. So there you go.
Well, that's what they get for being villains.
I guess so. That's right.
As a poop, there we go, used to say here, it's like, you're not insulting me here. British do the better villains. Think about it. All the James Bond.
They do.
It's Star Wars.
It's the cool accent. It's the cool British accent, man. Think about it. Hold on. Think about if the Empire were all rednecks. Who the hell would take the Empire seriously? Like, seriously? You're the biggest threat to the galaxy?
I do believe your friends are going to find that this... Death Star is fully operational. Yeah, no, it doesn't work.
Oh no. I'm so scared. I'm so scared. No, not that. No. They're gonna I mean, as soon as you say that, like, what are you gonna do?
Skywalker.
Hold on. Okay, as soon as they say that, like, what are you going to do, fire the cannon and a giant pickup truck's going to fire out and just run over the planet going, yee-haw!
I'll tell you what. You will go to the dark side, I tell you what. What?
I don't think so. I didn't understand a word you just said there, sir.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. Oh, wrong.
Oh,
okay,
sir.
We'll try that
Hold on. I tell you, what we have here is your failure to enunciate. That's all Princess Leia would say in retaliation to retort. Grand Moff Tarkin. That's Grand Redneck talking to you.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and
right,
what did
right.
I say? Look at Silver Egret. What did I say?
Egret.
I read an article tonight.
It said Harry Potter reboot reportedly being used as leverage for Steve. Yeah. To milk 7.78 franchise. Oh, to milk.
In other words,
milk
what is already existing? Let's get some more money. More money. More money. More money.
Yeah. Did we talk about that on air, or was that the pre-show?
We did not talk about it on air. I was telling you about it.
Right. We were discussing this on the pre-show. So just wait. We're going to discuss all this shit. Just wait till the show's over. We have topics lined up to talk about. Yes, we were. Yes, it was either going to be a reboot, or the ninth movie is not a reboot. They want to do that a movie based on the Broadway play, Harry Potter, and let's make more money off of Broadway play.
The Cursed Child.
The Cursed Child. I think it's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. I think that's it. I have the book somewhere. I haven't read it yet, but I think that's it.
Which I did read. It's like, if they actually do The Cursed Child, we want an explanation how Weasley and his wife, which is Emma Watson's character, had a black child.
Hermione.
Yeah.
This is what we were discussing. Hold on. To be politically correct for the ninth movie, you know Potter's kid is going to be the only straight kid in there. Everybody else is going to be trans or LGBTQ. Mad was saying that even though I was saying there's schools around the world, but Hogwarts is now going to be all-inclusive.
But, you know,
they're going to allow kids in from around the world.
There's even talk of breaking the rule that J.K. Rowling had. And British only.
Because Hogwarts
is British.
A British school.
Yeah.
Right, because Hogwarts is a British school. In one of the movies, you had a school from France come in. You had a school from Germany or wherever it's from. You had schools from other countries. You have other schools because this represents the British boarding school system, you know, their boarding schools over there. That's what that represents. When she was growing up, she went to one of those schools. So that's what this represents. We don't have that here in the States. So that's what this is supposed to represent. Hold on.
Hogwarts is going to end up being a safe school
for gifted youngsters, yeah. Right? And, hold on, I can see it. They're going to have at least one American who is black and female. And a lesbian.
Well, in the Broadway play,
trans.
Hermione's
yes.
and Weasley's kid was a African American girl. And
what? But they show. But they show their kids in the movie.
I want to give credit where it's due. She did a great acting job. I will give credit where it's due. It was a great acting job.
Okay.
But those who are, big of a fan of Harry Potter's as a comic book guy from Simpson, and how did a redhead and a muggle come up with this child? I would like to know. You can just hear
the
comic book guy going.
Because at the end of the last movie, when they sent their kids to Hogwarts, Hermione and Ron had two redhead kids. There were a guy and a boy and a girl, redhead, white. So what? Somewhere on the train? Oh, we did a spell. We changed into a black child. What?
Well,
what?
Once again, I got to give credit where due. The actress in question did a great job. I saw the whole thing because it popped. It was one of the pandemic movies choices on YouTube. I'm like, okay, let me see this. I will give credit where due. Did an excellent job. It never really explained.
Yeah, as long as you don't explain it, it doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah. You know, but like I said, did a great job acting. I can't take anything away from her. And I hope she continues on Broadway doing great jobs like she did in this one. But like I said, I know there's going to be Harry Potter fans going, what in the world? Just like any comic book fan, any Star Wars fan, any Star Trek fan, they find a fault, they'll be right there.
Well, it's called continuity. So, you know, how soon?
And, you know, once again, let's make sure it's fully explained. No, we are not talking, you know, we're against because it's because of X or Y or Z. Like I said, we are going on diehard fans, no matter what series, they find something wrong, they're going to be right.
Right.
You know, go to a Comic-Con, see the actor or actress, and go, excuse me, in episode 25, scene 3, act 2, you were doing this, and when actually you should be doing this, can you explain this? Meanwhile, the actor and actress go, what?
Well, it's very simple. It's very simple. In the last movie, you know, what the hell happened? It's a common sense question. Okay, really quickly, let's get to the Star Wars news, and then we'll get to the books.
Okay, one more.
I really
want
to get to. Okay.
American Hufflepuff is packing a couple of nines, an AR-15, epoxy grenades, and a bazooka for the end of semester battle for survival.
That's right. That's right. Okay. News about the Bad Batch.
Loves the fact that she's in Hufflepuff. I'm trying to see her dressed as Rambo.
Right. Okay. Really quickly, news about the Bad Batch. Okay. Last year, word broke that Star Wars Bad Batch would return for its third season. However, at Star Wars Celebration Europe, Lucasfilm confirmed that Bad Batch Season 3 will mark the end of the story for Clone Force 99. The animated series is a direct spinoff from Star Wars The Clone Wars, which introduced Clone Force 99 in the final season. The clones in question were mutated duplicates of Jango Fett, which gave them enhanced physical attributes. They were also joined by Echo, a previously ordinary clone who had been turned into a cyborg. Additionally, the clones took in their clone sister, Omega, the only known female clone of Jango. Season 2 ended with Omega captured by the Empire and held captive at the Mount Tantus cloning facility. While there, Omega learned that her clone brother and former member of Clone Force 99, Crosshair, was also a captive. Additionally, Emery Carr claimed that she is Omega's sister. A teaser trailer for the Bad Batch Season 3 was screened at Celebration, but the video is not online. It featured Hunter, Wrecker, and Echo planning Omega's rescue, while she assured Crosshair that she wouldn't leave without him. The video also confirmed that Ian McDiarmid will reprise his role as Emperor Palpatine as he oversees the cloning efforts of Dr. Royce Hemlock. And in a final tease, Ming-Na Wen's Fennec Shand also returned in the trailer. Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3 will premiere on Disney Plus in 2024. All right, hold on. I got some big news here about Dave Filoni and James Mangold explain their Star Wars movies. Now, this is really big. Star Wars Celebration London also kick off the year's events with the news that Dave Filoni and James Mangold are both directing new Star Wars movies. And in the aftermath of those announcements, the duo are shedding some light on what they have planned. As reported earlier, Filoni's film is the cinematic event. Ready for this one? That will bring characters from The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and The Book of Boba Fett together. And according to Filoni, it also represents the conclusion of the story he began telling years ago. On a base level, I would just say the coming conflict, the growing idea that the Empire wasn't as defeated as a lot of people want to believe, and that the remnant is out there, said Filoni while speaking with Variety. We saw that from the very beginning with The Mandalorian and how Giancarlo Esposito character, Gideon, was plotting. They are always people that are willing to undermine something that the Republic is trying to build and put back on its feet. I grew up with a lot of stories in the expanding universe that were exploring what happened after Return of the Jedi, continued Filoni. There has been this for fans, idea that there was a new Republic and a remnant Empire, and the conflict persisted after Return of the Jedi. Even though the heroes won and were more in control, what did that control look like? And since Force Awakens is 30 years on out from Return of the Jedi, we have room then to tell another story. That's what I'm coalescing into this time period. Variety also spoke with Mangold, who shared the genesis of his film, which will take place at the dawn of the Jedi, 25,000 years before the original trilogy. Okay, and he says, it's a chance to tell the entire story of its own, the birth of the Force, said Mangold. When I first talked to Kathy Kennedy, I thought she was out. What's going on here? I just said, I just see this opening to make a kind of Ben-Hur or the Ten Commandments about the birth of the Force. The Force has become a kind of religious legend that spans through all these movies. But where did it come from? How was it found? Who found it? Who was the first Jedi? And that's what I'm writing right now. For now, neither one of these has been given a release date. Hold on, I do have a further story about this. Where to go? Sorry, we're going to do one more, then we'll hit the book. Is this the one? Oh, wait, that's not it. I had another one here. Sorry about that. All my stuff got screwed up here. Come on. Hello. Okay. So now with the Dave Filoni story, Daisy Ridley came out on stage as it was announced that she will reprise her role as Rey, the keeper of the Jedi legacy, the woman behind the new Jedi Order and the currently untitled sequel era project. I'm sorry, that's the movie directed by Sharman Obaid Chinoy. That will take place beyond the time frame of the sequel trilogy. It's going to be something. Daisy Ridley came out to announce that one. She's going to be doing something with the new Jedi Order. Then Mangold talks about the 25,000-year past storyline. Tone describes biblically epical about the origins of the Force, and Filoni comes out and talks about his thing, the Filoni feature film, how many episodes of Star Wars live-action TV shows. Jon Favreau, Filoni's frequent Star Wars collaborator, he will produce the film, at least one film. So I don't know if it's going to be a trilogy or not. Okay, that's what we got for Star Wars.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And, oh, they did a quick costume change.
Should I be going down, down, little, down, 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 down?
they're dressed in Jedi robes.
Oh, Jedi.
What did you think, Harry Potter? No. They wanted Jedi robes because they knew I was going to talk about Star Wars tonight. Oh, no. I'm sorry. On one side, they dress as Jedi. The other, they dress as Sith.
Ah, got to keep it even.
Yeah, they got to keep it. And the one in the middle, good Lord, or, you know, the one, the freaky one.
Mm-hmm.
He's dressed like Daisy Ridley's character. Why? Why do you got to be so different? You just because you want to keep the balance. That makes all the sense. Of course he did. What's funny is on the screen, I'm not trans. I'm just keeping it neutral. Okay, very good. Give me the book. Go on. All right. Yeah. Oh, and he has bunny ears on. You still have the bunny ears on for Easter. Thank you. Oh, thank you. He knows I like white chocolate. Oh, thank you. He gave me a white bunny. It's a Fruity Pebbles one. It's very. You made this? Oh, thank you. It's a white bunny, and he put Fruity Pebbles. You know how sometimes you make your own chocolate?
Yeah.
He had some Fruity Pebbles cereal. He took the white chocolate, melted it, and he mixed some Fruity Pebbles cereal, and he molded a white bunny for me. I can't eat dark chocolate. I got a white chocolate.
Mm.
It's a crunchy bunny.
But anyway.
All right. Go on. Anyway, we have the tome from the tomb, and I said it right tonight. Let's just get to it. If you, one of your villains is one of these guys in this book, you need a serious upgrade. These are oddball criminals from comic book history. These are members, whether they're from the Golden Age, Silver Age, or Modern Age. These are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. And let's start with the Golden Age.
Here we go.
Wow. Okay. First off, our villain is an enemy. Oh, my God. You know, when I first saw the comic book cover, they always put a comic book cover in. I thought this was the villain. This is actually a villain of the heroes, Bullet Man and Bullet Girl.
Okay. Actually, those are familiar names for some reason.
They are. I think we actually had them from the heroes. Bob, stick around at the end. I have two rocks for you, if he's listening. Old man Bob, when did Morty become a Sith Lord? Look, if you never figured out Morty was a Sith Lord, where the hell have you been? Look, man, come on. I could have told you that since, like, you know, when I met the guy.
I'm going like, wait, you're not getting the idea, you know?
Jeez, Louise. Well, you know, like, if you had a pin peep, like, if you lined all of us up, like, who's Jedi and who's Sith? Morty. Come on. All right. This is created by Ed.
Because it happens.
He showed up to a club one night. You know, they gave him the outfit, red lightsaber. All right. This is created by Ed Dobrotka and an uncredited writer.
Okay, here we go.
That's a kiss of death. All right. this villain debuted in Bulletman number 5, Boston Comics, May 1942. Dressed to kill, attend a gala awards banquet. Oh, good Lord. All right. The quote, perhaps in your dying breath, you'll be able to speak. Tell the cops that you met the man who is dressed to kill. Okay, the name is funny. More because I don't need a saber. I have ultimate power.
His power goes over 9,000. Oh, wait a minute, wrong one.
wrong. What did I tell you about copyrights? We're not a Middle Eastern Indian film company. That's for Bunny Movie Night. But the name of this character. I don't know. I don't think, you know, it's funny. I wonder if the Big Lebowski knew about this guy. For his name, the villain, the dude.
Oh, no.
I kid you not. Okay. He's a fashion plate, declares the opening caption to the dude's debut appearance. He's suave. He's sleek. He's slick. It continues. In fact, he's dressed to kill. The description has never rung truer. Decked out in fancy duds and immaculately pressed, preened, and prepared for trouble, the dude cuts a simultaneously ominous and elegant figure. But his wardrobe is as functional as it is fancy. When this Beau Brummel of badness interrupts a jewel heist and demands that the thieves turn over the ill-gotten goods to him post-haste, the confrontation ends fatally for his rival gangsters. Pressing a hand to his lapel, he simply squeezes, and from his boutonniere, a streak of gas shoots forward. In seconds, only the dude and his assistant are still breathing. Likewise, his cufflinks fire poison darts, and he also carries an electrified cane. A handy diagram is provided in the comic. Should any kids decide to make one for themselves?
Oh, great!
Yes. That's what we need. That's what we need in comic books, man. You know, when the villains make a weapon like that, you know, hey, kids, this is how I did it. And a list of the everything he used to make it, too. He sports a poison ring, a flame-spewing fountain pen, and a watch that performs the same dart-shooting trick as the cufflinks. He also, on one occasion, makes use of a tailor's dummy as a bludgeon, uncreatively but impressively. His most moribund move, to properly dress the men he kills. You know, I never leave a man sloppily dressed. He explained as he fixes the tie of a recently murdered. Yeah, I think that's rather nice of him. You know, if you're gonna kill the guy, let's leave him properly dressed for the tailor, and let's leave him properly dressed for the funeral. And he explains to his recently murdered fellow, not even a dead man. Opposing the dude's deadly crime spree are the Flying Detectives, Bullet Man and Bullet Girl, possessing helmets made of a special metal that allows them to fly with bullet-like speed. The duo are also bulletproof. A secondary characteristic of the special alloy that makes up their headgear is that it attracts bullets and other metal missiles. Wouldn't you want it to deflect them? Yes, let's attract all kinds of metal missiles towards us. That's brilliant. Not typically a selling point for a hat, see? See? But, in this case, it saved these crime fighters' lives several times. The catch? The helmets must be worn in order to work. Well, obviously, stumbling upon Bullet Girl while she's in the process of suiting up, the dude shoots her with a deadly dart. Luckily, Bullet Man, in his civilian identity of Jim Barr, a chemist, is able to fabricate an antidote to the toxin and save his bride's life. The pair's subsequent pursuit of the dude ends with a sartorial terror seemingly shot dead and plummeting into a river. Of course, comic book villains shake off that kind of apparent demise every morning before breakfast. The dude returns to harass the Flying Detectives a second time, after which he's reduced to being the best-dressed prisoner in the custody of the state.
I just thought about it. Isn't it on Champions in the Nemesis missions, you get two heroes to help you? And I want to say the names are rather similar.
I think so. Bullet Man, Bullet Girl.
It's possible.
Oh. We have new Raw Women's Tag Team Champions.
And they are?
Raquel Gonzalez and Liv Morgan. But,
oh, okay.
What is it? It was The Man, Becky Lynch, and it wasn't Lita defending the title. It was the blonde. Why can't I remember her name tonight?
That's
Trish Stratus. Yeah, Trish Stratus was stepping in. And Trish's like, I'm so sorry. And then Becky's like, it's okay, it's okay. She's hugging her. I'm waiting. But now Vince is back in control. Whoa!
I think we just had a heel turn.
Trish! I was waiting for Becky because Vince is back in. Trish just hit her from behind and gave her the chick kick. That's the name of the move. I'm not being sexist. That's what she called, and she did it a second time. I have the volume off, so I don't know what's going on. I'll have to watch it later. I don't know if she was jealous of the fact she was tag team champions with Lita, because that's her best friend. I'll have to watch it later to let you know. But I don't know what the hell happened.
The fact that Vince is back says it all. The new Cesar Romero.
Here was the deal. When he sold the company, he swore in an interview, I'm not going to be in charge of control.
Uh-huh.
Well, once the company was sold, it was revealed one of the factors was he would be in charge of control. Day two WrestleMania sucked. He was in charge of control already. He rewrote a lot of the script, the endings. The Monday after Raw, remember I said it's usually the best Raw of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said it sucked this year. He was in total control of that. He rewrote the script, the entire script for that night. He's screwing Cody Rhodes over left and right because he was supposed to win the title at WrestleMania. Then he had him in tag team with Brock Lesnar, right? Before the match even started, out of nowhere, Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of him. And everybody's like, what the hell is that? On Friday night, when the announcers came out and said, because Brock can't fight for the title of a stipulation from SummerSlam. So then one of the other announcers, he kind of said, so why wouldn't Brock want Cody to win the title? And they cut his microphone off as he's saying it, but you hear him start to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, all right, WWE's going to suck again. We had over a good year with Triple H in charge of creative. And now this is the new WWE. Back to the old shit with Vince in charge. See where it's going. Thank God we have AEW to watch. Anyway, here we go.
Silver.
Oh, my God. I can't. No, it's just funny. This guy made the list. This guy made the book. Okay. This is an enemy of Captain America, Iron Man, the Hulk, and more. Created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, of all people. Debuted in Tales of Suspense, number 93. Marvel Comics, September 1967. Hat size, men's enormous.
Oh, no. I know where it is.
Go ahead. You want to take a guess now?
Is it?
You want to take a guess?
Is it MODOK?
It could be, because his quote, "Once I was a mere guinea pig for the scientists of AIM, but they did their job too well, and now I am their master." I just find it funny he's in here. Yes, it is MODOK. I was like, what? It's like, really? I know, and remember, this came out a few years ago, way before the Hulu series came out, which I had to finish watching. But... all right. Success can give even the most grounded individual a swelled head. Ba-dum-tsh. So imagine how much it went to the already enlarged noggin of the hovering head of hate, MODOK, when he became the most popular oddball villain in comics history. Although he debuted as a short-lived adversary to Captain America, MODOK has been pitted against practically every superhero in the Marvel Comics roster. The Submariner, the Hulk, Iron Man, Ms. Marvel, the Defenders, the Champions, Deadpool. You'd have an easier time listing every superhero whom MODOK has never struggled against than those he has.
Four of us,
seems
man.
To make MODOK. Who?
Four
Wait,
of
who
us,
was
man.
That?
He never fought against Four of us, man.
Oh, okay. It seems to make MODOK so popular is the very thing that earned him so much derision early in his career, the preposterous appearance of a giant head with tiny arms and legs that flies around in a hover chair, scowling and making pronouncements about his future domination of the planet. Since its debut, the character has been transformed from a dour and self-important would-be world conqueror to a gleefully manic death machine, if not a hapless incompetent, despite the advantages of his huge head. MODOK was originally George Tarleton, a lower-level scientist with the international cabal of evil scientists called Advanced Idea Mechanics, or AIM. As a mutation resulting from an experiment in expanding human brain power, he was originally dubbed MODOC, M-O-D-O-C, for mental organism designed only for computing. As his power grew with his ambition, soon he was operating the branch of AIM that had created him. What's more, his purpose changed from computing to killing, so the C changed to a K, despite an apparent death. In fact, despite having died multiple times, MODOK returned repeatedly to harass every hero who dared cross his path. His world-conquering ambitions often are sublimated, but they tend to hover below the surface. "One day I will rule the world," he admits in a recent appearance, "and also win Dancing with the Stars." He was briefly replaced with a female equivalent, MODAM, mental organism designed for aggressive maneuvers. MODOK's appeal and audacity make him one of the most oft-invoked oddball villains, which seems to imply only great things for his future. He's already appeared in animation, video games, and merchandising. Is it just a matter of time before MODOK comes to the movies? Let the stunt casting begin. Which is funny, because he's in Quantumania.
Yep.
Sorry, for he's in that self. This is how long ago this... Hold on. I'm going to look up when this book came out, because I think that the John Morris, who wrote this book, had no idea he was going to be in this movie. So, wow, he foresaw that one. Copyright 2016. Yep, 7 years ago. He had no idea he was going to be in Quantumania. So there you go, John. I'd love to see him do an update on his book. Yep, I told you. He's sitting there going, I knew it.
Well, the thing is, all now, right, so. MODOK is like comedy relief in every cartoon or series or video game. So, yeah.
He's comic relief in his own Hulu series. Pat Oswalt voices him in his own Hulu series. He has a family. Okay? So let's not, you know. All right, one more. What do we got? All right, we got time. All right. So we go to the modern age. You know, we only have a few left of the modern age. Now we have to make a decision. Do I double? I'm going to think I'm going to double up on the golden. For some reason, here's the deal. The golden age has free license. It's public, what do you call it? Public
domain.
License? Public domain. Thank you. So no one can claim, you know, you can use them, but you can't say, oh, it's copyright DC, copyright Marvel. You can use them, but you can't, like, claim them. That's why they don't use. That's why the big companies don't use them so much. But back in the day, there were so many because every month they were coming up with a different character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get to the Silver Age, the Modern Age. Modern Age is 1970 and up. Once you get to there, everything's copyrighted. So. Oh, Trish got pinned, and then she did the heel turn. I think she got pinned intentionally. All right. Anyway, this villain is an enemy of Spider-Man, Storm, and Power Man. Interesting combo. Created by John Romita and an uncredited writer. Here we go again. Okay. Debuted in Spider-Man, Storm, and Power Man. A custom publication, Marvel Comics, June 1982. Weakness, no smoking signs. Okay. Wow. Okay, the quote. Soon enough, the world shall hear the man called Smokescreen.
This sounds like a PSA
villain,
comic.
I think so. The villain name, if you can't guess by now, Smokescreen. Hold on a minute. Before I go any further, let me check to see if I have to jump or do anything in City of Heroes. Ew. It's a good thing I checked. Just a moment.
Right.
Yes. I got a warning on my screen, too.
Hmm.
You know what's bad when you get the warning on your screen?
Mm-hmm.
Is Bob still here? Did Bob just leave?
Anyway.
Hold on, I got really quickly. Hold on, I want to tell you something about Bob. Hold on, I'll get to it in a second. I thought he was listening to the show. Okay, here we go. So, superhero comics are traditionally the realm of the morality play. Heroes and villains are pitted against each other as clearly defined defenders of good and proponents of evil. As its extreme, this easily comprehensible model of wrong versus right makes a great template for a whole subgenre of comics. PSA comics, you're right, as in public service announcement, use the superhero model to inform younger readers about a range of issues, including drug and alcohol abuse, bike safety, sexual assault, literacy, famine, asthma, and more. Often, these one-shot comic books introduce new villains to represent said issue, so as not to permanently define an existing character as the quote-unquote, be careful around gasoline villain, one imagines. One such villain, is Smokescreen, permanently clouded in billowing gray smoke, like some sort of insidious version of Pigpen from Peanuts, and decked out in black and orange costume with smoke emblazoned highlights. He's a high-stakes gambler with an eye toward controlling the mob sports betting scene. Other symbolic villains who populated PSA comics include the Asthma Monster, the Literatrog, and Vapora, a.k.a. the Fume of Doom, the living embodiment of unchecked gasoline vapor. Smoking is merely a tool in achieving Smokescreen's dreams, luring a promising young track star named Brett Jackson to his cigarette-stocked youth center. Smokescreen and his cronies ply the boy with the rich flavor of top-tier tobacco. This naturally reduces Brett's athleticism, which somehow requires the efforts of three superheroes to investigate. Through the book, rightly outlines many of the health hazards associated with smoking. It stretches credulity a bit when it implies that tobacco will get you involved with criminals who threaten you into throwing high-stakes sporting events. Yes, kids, if you're an athlete, don't do tobacco, because it'll make you throw high sports games and betting and et cetera and all that. Yes, it'll just do that on its own, I tell you. The combined efforts of Spider-Man, Luke Cage, a.k.a. Power Man, and Storm from the X-Men, in case you were confused with another Storm from Marvel Comics, put Smokescreen down for the count. Although the trio was too late to help Brett win the big meet, smoking ruined his cardiovascular system for the season, and returning to his previous championship levels will take some training. Hopefully, he won't run into any supervillains trying to stuff him full of drugs, fatty foods, or indolence. Yes, he smoked two cigarettes and it ruined his whole cardiovascular system for 9 months. I don't know what was in those cigarettes, but holy mackerel. Anyway, those were representatives for the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains.
Like a big name of MODOK hits.
I know. I was like, MODOK? What? MODOK, you say? Oh, do we have time? Yeah, we have time. I want to do my survey.
All right.
If we have time.
All right.
So, a big joke coming out of the 80s was the big fight song. Every note. The big fight song we had from the 80s was the Beastie Boys. You got to fight for your right to party. And it always bugged me. I'm like, that can't be the big fight song we have. And then yesterday on the radio, I heard it. And I actually slammed my hand on the steering wheel. I was like, no! This is the big fight song. The problem is it came out like 5 years earlier. At least. Ladies and gentlemen, I speak of Twisted Sisters, We're Not Gonna Take It Anymore. Now I want to know, why is this song not considered the big protest, the big fight song from the 80s?
The video alone.
The video, exactly. It's like, come on, man. I mean, all right, it pertains to everything. Including, should I play the song?
Go ahead.
I'm going to play it. Matt, I would like for you to set up a poll for a week to see what everybody thinks should be the big protest fight song, whatever you want to call it, from the 80s. But for now, I'm going to play it, at least, you know, just so we have it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Twisted Sisters, We're Not Going to Take It. So let me hit the play button. There we go.
Yeah.
Ever done playing air guitar? Jumping around, getting all excited? Ever catch your breath? Smoke them if you got them?
Well,
now, how
perfect
can that
timing,
not be the great
coach?
Yeah, well, actually, Bog Talk Betty just said 90 seconds. But seriously, so, Matt, I need you to set up a Discord poll if you don't mind.
I'll try.
All right.
I'll be getting ready for the greatest gen.
Every in the WCC theater was playing Morty Supply. They're still jamming out to it. Oh, the song's still going for them, maybe. But come on. Still regrets destroying shit. All right. 60 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you, me and Mad Viking would just be talking about this stuff anyway, because trust me, we were before the show started. Watch those movies, TV shows, read those comic books, superhero novels, et cetera, et cetera. And stay super till next week, till next week's episode of Paragon Radio. Mad, anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
All right, Gracie, and thank you for co-hosting, Mad. Appreciate it. All right. And I guess stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast coming up next on dawnradio.org. Embrace the dawn. We will see you next week. Oh, we got 10 seconds. I hope you all had a great vacation. A great vacation. Great holiday weekend. I wish I was on vacation. No, I'm kidding. And there Morty goes back into Sith mode once the sister ends. Thank you. I'm going to go take a short recess, and then I'm going to go hunt fox bats and save some swag. I got to find Bob. I guess he's off. All right. Thank you, sir. I'm going to log off and let you do your thing. All right. I'm going to log off of here. I'm going to end the show. Same game. All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Enjoy.
Goodbye.
See you Wednesday night, I mean. Bye.